shine, little Uber, liver, liver, leave us.
Good evening. Excuse me. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your raspy voice, Jill Spears, your host. And here with two of my favorite worms, it's Amber Kleinman and Jer Lowe. Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing, Jill?
Doing great. Fun to be in here. Local night.
Nice sunny day out there today.
Nice sunny day.
Got that hot tub clean today.
You did. You've been doing chores, huh? Mm. This is the time of year, Jer. Get it done.
No gardening to do, so.
Chore central out there.
Right. Right. So we're going to talk about automobiles tonight.
Automobiles?
No,
well,
we're going to.
Tractors?
Tractors. Okay, 970-527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now.
And snowblowers.
Snowblowers, there you go. Mm-hmm. Because Amber and I were talking about building our Santa Claus tool list.
That
snowblower could go on it.
That's kind of a big one.
It is a big one.
That's a big
you have to
big
be
gift.
Very good girl this year.
I was kind of thinking of smaller gifts, but something
got,
for the gardeners in your
a
life.
Sweet new snowblower one.
Oh, do you?
Sears was going out of business in Junction there, and I was like, cash in on that.
Well, come on over, Jared. Well, let's hope there's more snow to snowblow.
Yeah, I hope you have a lot of
indeed.
To shovel.
We got about 6 inches last week up at the farm there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it's wet.
Yeah, it is wet.
It is really wet.
You don't want to be walking around out there because it's either frozen or it's soupy.
Yeah, mushy.
So don't be in your garden.
Oh, yeah. Turned my ankle the whole 9 yards under the snow there.
Oh, be careful. Wear your boots.
My boots on.
No, Amber and I were talking before the show, but there's like green grass coming up under the snow that's melting right now and green bulby action. And
it's getting 10 degrees out up at our place, as low as 10 degrees, and
so
I still
cold.
Have green leaves on the raspberries and blackberries.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I have
it's
a honeysuckle that's just evergreen.
Like they're not going to bed.
Not yet.
And we're getting close to solstice, so, I mean, things start turning already.
Yeah, we're 10 days away.
Right. Huh. Oh, well, I think it's going to happen. I personally just feel it in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly colder at night than it was last year, according to notes I've taken.
Yeah, and you're good at kind of keeping track of time
last
frames,
year it
journaling.
Just didn't get as sharply cold as fast as it did this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so that's
for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
Hey, Amber wants to put a question out there.
Oh,
so
I do.
Let me give the phone numbers 527-4868 1-866 KVNF now. Yeah, go ahead, Amber.
So I know that we have a lot of very talented growers that listen to this program. And my question is, I have a bunch of new south-facing windows. And of course.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. And of course, like looking online, you can grow anything in south-facing windows. So, but I would like to know if anybody is growing like a food crop tree, like a smaller tree in a south-facing window.
We're growing lime trees.
Well, that's what
no
I'm talking
kidding.
About. So like, you can plant banana trees, avocados, persimmons. Like there's all these things that supposedly you can grow in your south-facing windows. Yeah. But I want to know, first of all, do you need supplemental light for these? Or do you just plant them and let them go? Or, you know, I just need some advice.
So here's the thing. So lime trees pretty much grow like where they grow in Florida, right?
Or right.
Someplace like that. You ever been down to Florida, been down
sure.
to Miami?
Yeah.
You know, they don't have as long a days as we have. I'm always, every time I go down there, even in the summer, I'm like, oh, it's already getting dark. It's 6 o'clock.
Right. Closer to the equator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they have a closer, you know, light schedule. So you can get away with growing those things in the winter.
Oh, because it's not
here.
A light cycle issue.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Just for the citrus crops, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of crops like that, but definitely the citrus crops, they... You know, they grow in places where it's not particularly long days anyways.
And they don't need a certain amount of light to start a vegetative or fruit cycle. It just
right.
doesn't matter. Okay. Yep. Okay, cool. I'm interested in more like beyond citrus, like I've seen all these small banana trees and these small.
We got a banana tree going up there too. We have a banana tree.
No kidding.
Okay, is it inside?
Yeah.
Okay, and
a banana palm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, does it? It doesn't require extra light.
No, it's doing pretty well actually.
Oh, okay.
Leaves are, you know, like 3 feet long.
Is that in a south window chair?
Yeah, all this stuff is upstairs in the south-facing windows. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotten any bananas off of it?
No, this thing came to me this summer with only one leaf left sticking out.
Oh, okay.
From a friend of ours.
Brought back from the dead.
And yeah, we really did. And so
it's
now
zombie banana tree.
It's got about, I don't know, 5 to 7 leaves now.
Huh, okay.
And it's getting there.
Right. I'm curious to know if we got some exotic things growing out there and what our potential is for
right. We've had a lot of people call us up at the store this last couple of weeks asking about whether or not we have seedling mix because they want to plant microgreens is
right.
really big right now.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, some people do it with the same thing with wheatgrass, but you take a flat.
Mm-hmm. Or mung beans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you take a flat, you just fill it with a little soil and some sort of seed starting mix, and then you plant them and, you know, and they grow right there in the flat, and then you just harvest that off.
Mm-hmm.
And saw this really cool new greens harvester that one of our customers came in. He asked me if we could get in and da-da-da. But it's this thing that hooks up to an electric drill, and you can take it down a row of greens, and it just cuts all the greens.
Oh, wow.
And harvests them. And they have a mount that you can put it on a table and run your flats of microgreens right under it. And it harvests everything.
Okay, that's going on my Santa
that's
tool
the, like,
list.
That's on my tool
microgreen
list.
Microgreen harvester.
Microgreen planer.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a planer. It's really cool.
That you hook up to a drill. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Oh, no.
I mean, you know those electric knives? Like
for
carving the turkey or whatever? Yeah, it's kind of like that on
TV.
You know, on a plane. And just, it's so cool.
Wow. Oh, that's clean. That's clean. That's
super cool.
Yeah, maybe a micro scythe would be more my speed.
There you go.
But, you know, there's a lot of people build up. When they build out here, they build with a southern exposure and looking for that sun. So
yeah,
we know they're out there using it.
Right. So call us if you have any experience with any of this growing any small vegetative trees or fruit-bearing or trees in your south-facing windows and let us know how you do it.
Give us a buzz, 970-527-4868.
1-866-KVNF now.
Yay.
Meow.
Now meow.
Or they can hit us up on what, the Facebook page? Or?
Worm@KVNF.org. That's
Worm at KVNF.org. Okay.
Worm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right. So we were talking last week, Jer, about seed catalogs coming out. And Amber, you just are getting into your seed catalogs.
Oh,
but,
yes. Earlier every year. I thought it was a January thing. And now it's like all the time.
Are you a seed hoarder? No.
I am.
We are.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
What
yeah.
does that mean? What did I just tell you?
Well,
it's just never enough.
So right. In our situation, we buy all the seed that we sell outright. And then you're not allowed to sell it after that year.
Talked about that.
There's a seed year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a date. And so we...
So you have all that.
We hoard seed, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's usually good for years beyond that, but it's just not fresh.
Yeah. Seed lasts a really long time.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had some cannabis seeds for like almost 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Still, they'll pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Amazing.
So
one way to control the food supply, I guess, is for us to have our own
Well,
seed.
there's two major seed banks in the world,
mm-hmm.
and one of them's in Colorado, and it's over by CSU. They deal with it. And then the other one's in, I think, Sweden or Iceland
I've
or
seen
something
that.
Like that.
That is amazing.
And like they've literally laid down every species they can get their hands on in case of, you know, some sort of disaster, and they keep them on two continents because of that too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But there's lots of smaller sizes, like in Decorah, Iowa, there's seed savers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of smaller, you know, they don't hold every seed ever created, but they have like their own lineage and where they came from. And
I watched a show on the one in Sweden, and, you know, I think I saw the same thing.
It's like a vault.
It's in deep freeze vault and all this, you know.
Dr. Amazing. Yeah.
You should look at that. It's
this underground bunker thing. It's super cool.
They realize how you know, important that is, though.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most exciting things about gardening right now is seed saving.
Yeah.
The acclimation of the seed to your environment and just the yield that you can get and that you're not relying on seed catalogs,
or right,
that you can share seed with your neighbors and people in the community. There's so many great things about it.
Yeah, yeah, it's transferable, it's shareable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Indeed, they do that in Delta County here. You know, through the library.
Libraries, yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
So every year they have the library seed exchange.
Yep.
In Delta County.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And Sarah Pope, who now is Sarah Smith, I think. Is going to be in here in end of January to talk about that.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's amazing
the seed that you can get, different varieties, and all right here from your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, I was thinking we should go trade this year with them when they do
Right. There you go, Amber, some of that seed that you need to diversify.
Just stockpile for Armageddon in the basement.
Totally. It can go bad too, though. You got to know how to keep it.
Yeah, you got to break it out once in a while.
You got to keep it dry.
Yeah.
You got to keep it in a cool, dry, dark place.
Dark place, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Amber, you had that flood come over your garden this year, and so you kind of lost out on putting up food this season.
Was not a good, not a great year.
Bogus.
So what are you thinking about next year? I mean, you probably have to shift gears and get excited.
Yeah. You know, I think winter's a good time to kind of look at your space and look at your, you know, your hardscapes and think about
it is
like
a good time for
everything
that.
Else is gone. So you can't get distracted by your tomato plants and you can look at your contours just bare and kind of reassess. Because, you know, you move into a place and you're like, oh, the garden goes here, obviously. But then after being there for, you know, 5-10 years, you realize, well, I could change this.
I can put
it somewhere else. And fresh ground, once you get the grass out of there, like that first year in fresh soil is the best. Because it's kind of just been sitting fallow until you put food in it. And there's, you know, pulls a whole lot of different things out of the ground, and it just a real exciting year that first
And turf is a good thing to cover.
It's
going to
hold space. Yeah,
it really is, because it chokes out all the other weeds.
Right.
You know, and so.
Yeah, so it's a good
So
time
if you
to...
can leave some of the grass in there, is that what you're saying, Jeff?
Yeah, like I've battled with, say, in between our raspberries and blackberries. I think I'm just going to put some grasses in rather than... go with all these other cover crops, because
not clovers.
Well, I'll mix some of that stuff in, but I want some grass in there to I got to choke out the bindweed.
It's all about choking out the bindweed.
Yeah, so. A lot of gardening is really about establishing a defensible space.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so hard to just hold your ground free of grass. But
you get a hole in the weed block. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
The bindweed will find its way to that.
I know. The bindweed finds its way from China.
It's unreal.
It is.
And you have defensible space. I think we were talking about you last week, Amber, for critters.
Oh, yeah.
Critter contraptions everywhere.
Yeah. Get more creative about how to keep the raccoons, you know, busy all night long.
Right.
Not eating your
food. Dodging sprinklers.
Do you have those?
I do. I motion detector sprinklers were the best thing.
Really?
Because you can put lots of fences up and you can put lots of, you know, chicken wire out. But in terms of like really keeping them out, there's a lot of different kinds you can get. But their motion detector, they work day and night.
Right.
And they only spray like...
For like
for like two or three different swaths. Yeah. But they're really loud and, you know, they scare off whatever. So I have three of them set up in a row. So when they start to walk in the yard, they get hit. If they're in the middle, they get hit. And on the way out, they get hit. But it's one thing that really has
That was a good
worked.
One, huh?
It does get me more often than I would like. And the cat and what you know, everybody else who happens to wander into the garden. It would definitely get – oh, it got you one day.
Yeah, it did. Then you'd learn to play the game.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. You got to know
the
water
maze.
Right. Yeah. You know where those lines are. Uh-huh. But, yeah, that's a good one. I would encourage anyone to definitely pick – some of those up if you have a problem with deer and raccoons and squirrels and stuff.
I saw those in the catalog the other day, and I thought
the best thing
we might bring some of those in.
Yeah. What's your critter problem up there, Jer, at Earth Friendly? You have mostly deer?
Deer, but we put up 13 acres of deer fence last summer.
Oh, wow. So, I bet that made a difference.
That is a life-changing event. I've lived there You know, I've had that place going on almost 13 years, lived there for a little over 10. And this was the first year, the first full year now that I got through where we had deer fencing. And it's a total life-changing event. Like, anytime I would plant anything before, you just like, forget about
God.
It. You know? Like, I got all these little cages around trees and they're only 4 feet tall.
Ridiculous.
And, you know, but
not a relaxing atmosphere and everything's behind bars.
Right, exactly. So we got the deer and elk fencing, working with the, you know, the Department of Wildlife. And it's a life-changing event. The blackberries and raspberries had to have that, you know.
Right, tasty.
But we deal with besides feral cats, we have an invasive species called the Wyoming ground squirrel.
Oh, really?
Up there.
What's that like?
So it looks, you know, it looks like a tree squirrel, but they live in the ground and they will dig under your foundations.
Oh, they're really bad. Yeah, I've had those.
They will strip the cambium layer off the outside of your plants, you know, like they love to take the bark on certain plants.
What do you do with that?
Yeah, is that a trapping situation?
Yeah, it's a trap usually is how I deal with them. Yeah. But they also chase out chipmunks and native squirrels out of native habitat.
Right.
So they're kind of a, you know, something pest that we need to get rid of.
Give me a grasshopper any day.
Yeah, compared to that. Yeah.
Make your house unstable at least.
Grasshoppers weren't as bad this year as I thought they were going to be.
Oh, no, not at all.
I hear you there. No. Yeah.
Like, I thought they were going to be horrible because of the light winter and all that. And in the end, they came out. We got the cm spore down, and it just kind of fizzled. You know?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
It was a great, great thing because they're usually a pretty destructive force.
Sure.
There still are a lot of those little elm bugs and box elder bugs crawling around.
Wasps and yellow jackets, they're pretty hard on the berries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eating the berries?
That's how you know which one's right. You know, we do U-pick out there, and some people come out at a U-pick. I go, if you see a wasp, attack it. It just got, you know, right. That's the one you
pick. Really?
And every time you pick that, and it's super, perfect. If you pick that one, it's super sugary compared to the other ones, you know. They can nail
it
for you.
They can pick it out, yeah.
Good taste.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we still haven't heard about someone's avocado plants.
We haven't. That's odd, but maybe.
Coconut trees.
We'll just put it out there, and maybe somebody will perk up and give us a call.
We were on
Got
the aloe.
Got a lot of aloe.
5274-868-1866, KVNF Now. Amber, you mentioned that you're
Are
doing
we on the air?
Are we?
Give us
quiet.
A call.
That was good. I want to talk about your bees.
Oh, yeah.
Because your bees are kind of happy, and they made it through the last winter, which was kind of dry, and they're doing okay so far this winter.
Yep, so far. They've been winterized. So
what does that mean?
Yeah.
So Well, during the winter, you know, bees will cluster into a big ball to stay warm, and they'll actually kind of they'll lay their wings down, and they will flex their flight muscles to keep warm. So they buzz. It's like 250 beats per second, like
Whoa.
These crazy flight muscles they have. So they flex these muscles all winter and just vibrate and keep this. And they kind of move. So when they get too warm, they come to the outside.
Really?
And the cold
but they do this while
the
hibernating at the same time?
Yeah. And they are, they're not. Last year, they never went into a dormant state.
Gotcha.
They usually do in like January. Like you don't see them coming out. But last January?
Too warm?
All of January they were flying. Today they were flying. If it's above 45 degrees, they will break their cluster and get out for a flight. And like they call them cleansing flights. And they go out and they, you know, these little bee poops all over the place.
No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, a little all over the snow. Like if they fly and there's snow, they'll be little tiny like.
No, what do they go look
know,
for water?
Propolis.
Because there's no pollen for them,
no,
really, right?
They just get out and cleanse. They just get out to poop.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they may collect some snow and some water and come up back in, but they can't let their core temperature get below a certain temperature. They can't make it back to their hive.
Oh.
So it's a quick trip out and back and just to get out and stretch mostly.
Little house cleaning.
House cleaning. They don't like to poop inside their house, you know, so they just hold it until a good day. But so typically, though, you won't see them in January, and they just stay in a bunch and keep each other warm. And slowly move up, typically through the hive, and eat more honey as they go. So they need to keep, you know, that's why their honey stores are on top of the brood cluster, is they move up slowly and eat the honey as they move up into it as a ball.
Wow, amazing.
That's super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool, yeah. Yeah.
And so,
do you have to feed them, or you just leave them enough honey?
Well, ideally, they have, you know, in Colorado, I believe that they should have 90 pounds of honey to make it through the winter.
90 pounds?
90 pounds.
Wow.
That's a lot of pounds of honey.
That's a lot of honey, yeah. But that assures me that they aren't going to run out. So,
wow. Damn, I hope not.
Yeah. But that's, we're talking about 10,000 individuals, so that's
no
a lot.
No kidding.
Yeah, so, but it's all above them, and they just slowly, you know, move up as they run out of honey and go into more stores. So you can't feed them, really.
Gotcha.
You don't want to open that hive.
Gotcha.
Because you break a propolis layer.
You have to have restraint and leave
you
them
You have
the
to
honey.
Know how much they need to make it through the winter, and then don't touch it.
Wow.
And then in the spring, as soon as those dandelions start to bloom, they are not interested in their storage honey anymore. They're going right for the fresh flowers. So in the spring is when you can pull safely the rest of that honey off and use it, because they're not using it anymore.
So you just sort of monitor that as you go into the fall,
yeah.
And you know how much is in there based on how full it is.
Yep, and the weight of it, of a hive, and you just, you know.
Do you weigh it, or do you just like give it.
Yeah, get a little huff.
Kind of like a wet pot. Like that's how we know if we've watered enough in our pots, you know.
Right, yeah. You lift it, you know, it's heavy. It should be super heavy going into winter. And I'm in there enough that I'm always paying attention to if the hive is falling behind. And you can move frames of honey over from strong hives to weaker hives, as long as there's no diseases happening.
So what do you do with all that honey that you make? Or do you just do it for the pollinators?
I do it for the pollination. And really, like this last year, there was a disappointing amount of honey.
Gotcha.
Because it was so dry that I don't think the flowers had a lot of nectar in them.
Right.
So it's not a guaranteed thing. Plus, if you're, you know, if you're trying to split your hives and make, you know, a hive for a friend, then you have to split your honey stores with it.
I think it wasn't only so we were so limited on our own water resources this year. Like we didn't grow corn and sunflowers
right.
and stuff that the bees usually just love. You know, I just tried to keep the berries alive and keep the perennials alive instead of planting a lot of the annuals that we would. And, you know, and man, when the corn is going off, or when
they love
the giant sunflowers, the amount of sunflowers.
Yeah. They're all over those.
Yeah, oh, right. Man, and you're walking through there and the bees are just a buzz, buzz, buzzing, and it's the coolest thing ever. You know, it's surreal to sit there with the bees just buzzing away.
Yeah. It's loud.
And it's really loud, and it's super cool.
Yeah.
But I think it's because, like, I didn't plant those things. A lot of people didn't plant those things. So.
Right. And the best thing...
extrapolating effects.
Sure. You know? Yeah. I didn't really foresee that happening because it seemed like there was lots of flowers out there, but I just think there was less.
Right.
Yeah.
In general, less moisture. So we'll hope for a new, better year.
Yeah.
And Can't really get much worse. Wait.
Don't say that.
Have hope. Keep hope alive. I think the amazing thing about local honey is just that you see those bees buzzing around in your garden and all over the place, and then to have like some of your honey is so delicious just knowing it's just made from all those gardens right there.
Yeah.
And as local as it gets.
Yes.
You know.
So
and it's really
cool.
The taste of your town.
Yes.
Your terroir.
Absolutely. Every bit of honey is tastes different depending on where you live. Mm-hmm. So
it does. Yeah. And it's good to eat that local honey to raise your immune system to the allergens.
Yeah.
There you go. So. Right.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A great point. What about wax from beehives? How does that work? I know nothing about that.
Oh, well, so they younger
bees. Is that something you have
bees,
to clear?
So wax, this is fascinating. So younger bees, when they are able to create wax, they actually pull plates of wax out from between the segments of their abdomen. So when they're creating a frame, a comb, they will sit there and pull plates out and like chew them up and stick them in to make these hexagonal. Yeah, it's crazy.
They're so unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So they create it from their bodies and they build everything out of it. And it also, you know, you do have to remove some when you're trying to keep a order in your hive, but really you should rotate out frames because wax absorbs everything. So if there's any kinds of like pesticide in your or a fungicide in your environment, it will get absorbed into the wax of the hive.
Right.
And this is the problem with, you know, a lot of things. If it builds up in the wax and the brood is being grown and fed and lived in that wax that has you know, things in it, pesticides, and it's not healthy and it affects the immune system of the brood. And so you want to rotate out that brood comb every couple of years and not reuse it endlessly because it just carries so much with it. Yeah. So you rotate it out and you keep it fresh and clean in there.
You do?
Yeah.
And then what do you do with that wax?
Well, this year I'm melting it down and making candles for Christmas.
Nice.
First time ever.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
So that's
You're full of bee information.
Oh, man. I read a lot about it. I read a lot.
Well, she's got a lot going on in her yard.
But we should talk about tools before the end of the show.
Yeah,
we have 3 minutes left.
That.
And I've been thinking about the tool that I love so much.
What's it?
It's a small like Japanese hand hoe. It's super sharp, and it's got like a long handle. It's super light, but it's very. It's probably a foot long.
I know what you're talking about.
It's got a handle, and it comes up and kind of angles back at you, and it's got this like 4-inch blade that is so sharp.
We just got a supplier for those.
Oh, good. So, but you can go in there and just kind of go around and
They're sweet.
Chop the tops off all the weeds around your plants super
fast.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
You
got to keep it sharp and keep it clean and oiled.
Yeah, these are from Japan. And
they are from Japan, yeah.
Yeah, and,
Japanese tools.
They have some cool gardening tools for sure.
They really do. That's one of my favorites.
I just picked up a new supplier that we're going to get some of those up there at the store.
Do you have a favorite gardening tool, hand tool or otherwise?
You know, like a hori hori is pretty cool.
Oh, you should
What's
probably
a hori hori?
That.
So that's like a knife and a saw and a spade shovel all kind of in one.
Uh-huh. Wow.
You know?
It's a really tough knife.
Uh-huh.
You can dig in the ground with.
Yeah, and it's got the inches marked off on it so you can
bulbs.
Do your bulbs or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's It's a pretty cool one.
And you can pry on that metal. Like, there's a lot of good garden tools that you can't pry on. They just aren't made of nice metal.
Right, right.
This, you can really take a lot of pressure. You nice. Just carve things out with it.
Go at it.
Yeah. Nothing like a good set of pruners, though. I mean.
True. Pruners. You like your Fiskars, or do you like a different kind?
I like Fiskars, yeah. That's, I mean, what's mostly kind of what we deal, but we... There's some other nice pruners out there for sure.
True. You know. Depending on what you're pruning.
And
you don't have to have just one kind of pruner. No. Really, if you have gardeners on your list, get, you know,
depends
different
on how
size
much
pruners are really nice.
You want to spend,
absolutely
too,
nice,
you know,
to have. So. Yeah. And around here, you need different things.
You
I mean, it can never
some
hurt
big
to
ones,
have a
small ones.
A lobber in your tool
a
shed.
A lobber, for sure. Yeah. For sure. You got to keep cutting it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it strong.
Pruning is essential.
It is.
It's almost pruning time.
It's the only thing you can really do this time of year, maybe.
Yeah, it's almost pruning time, anyways. Yeah. Everything's getting cold.
I think of February is pruning time, but okay. You start early.
Don't push the clock that fast, Jared.
Right, rest. Eat your food that you've stored.
Yeah, right.
We did that for sure. Buried some barrels and made a little...
food storage?
Good.
Root cellar in 55-gallon drums in the ground.
And what kind of stuff did you put in there?
Potatoes, onions,
all the roots,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Did you grow beets?
We did, but we ate them.
All right, that's okay. A little bit in this food storage.
You know, it's better when they're fresh, I guess.
Right. All right. Well, Amber and Jer, thanks so much for being here tonight. And great information. I learned a lot about a lot of different things.
Yeah,
thank
nice
you.
To be here.
Always a pleasure.
And let's just do it again next week. I think Wynn Clearwater will join us next week.
Nice.
So next Tuesday at 6:30.
That guy doesn't know nothing. What are you talking about? A man knows more about every damn variety of
and
edible plant. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Try What's
to
that,
get a
Wynn?
Word in edgewise.
What's that, Wynn? What's that, Wynn?
Good information. Okay, it's DJ Leo Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.